after the debut night, the game was over, and I met a lot of really cool fans, and a couple of things really hit hard in the heart is one of the families I talked to, I took a picture with his son and signed an autograph, and he looked at me and he shook my hand. He said, Seth, he was like, you're an inspiration for the people out here in Houston. He was like, playing youth rugby in Houston to through Pathways and now being a true homegrown Houston native and playing professionally, he said it's an inspiration to a lot of us and showing us, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, it's if you have a dream, you could go chase it. Because I really want to use this as an outlet to, you know, spread positive energy and show people anything can happen.
Welcome to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. Interviews with the biggest names in American rugby.
The New England Free Jacks, Major League Rugby Champions.
Baker and that other guy.
Hey everybody, welcome to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. I am Bill Baker and this is John Fitzpatrick. Hey Fitzy.
Bill, how are you doing, man?
So I got a bone to pick with you.
I know where this is going.
You helped me out with my kicker. You helped me out with someone not playing, I believe it is, but you didn't help me out with three other guys not playing on my fantasy rugby team. Yes, listeners, there is a fantasy rugby MLR fantasy team out there, and depending on our first guest says tonight, one of us might have to pick him up for the team. So,
hey.
Yeah, I was a little busy in Charlotte, and I left, who was it? Two players.
You left Chris Bettina. And Connor Mooneyham, and...
Oh, three players, that's right. What's his name? He'll come to me. Eagle, big guy, lock. It's right there. Anyway. But you beat me easily. I don't know if I would have won still. Yeah, that was a good one.
It was, you know what, long season. Even for, you know, fans of the MLR teams that maybe lost in week one, we're just happy it's back. Fantasy is just another way to tap into it. So it's all good.
Look at you being diplomatic.
You're diplomatic.
Yeah, wait till the next time we play. You'll be like, you're going to kill
you. The next time I play you and I beat you, I'll be like, yeah, I smacked that ass. Sorry, this is a family show. I apologize.
Yes, it is. Speaking of the family show, little business before we get to our first guest. Listeners, again, thank you so much for tuning in. We are going live right now on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and my LinkedIn page as well, which is just look up Bill Baker, and eventually it'll be on the Eagles Overseas LinkedIn page as well, just not tonight. But other than that, please like, follow, or subscribe to this show. Copy the link and share with friends, teammates, foes, whatever. The more people on these, the more eyes on these shows, the better. And also reviews really help the show grow. So leave reviews. Again, subscribe to us either on YouTube, Facebook, wherever else. And then also follow us on social media and visit eaglesoverseas.com and rugby.com for more. So Fitz, let's do it. Let's get right into it. Our guest is waiting in the U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live green room. It's a very fancy green room. Maybe a little more yellow today. but this guest just became the youngest ever to play in Major League Rugby. Let's welcome 18 years, 8 months, and 11 days old today. Let's all welcome Seth Smith. Hey, Seth.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for having me.
Good, man. I think my voice just went up a few octaves there. I don't know if you caught that. Have you changed since this weekend? Are you still wearing this?
I am wearing the same hoodie since the aftermatch.
That is a pretty dope hoodie, though. I really like that. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, at first, you know, it's really bright yellow, but I do like the yellow.
Well, you know, I got to say what I like, man. I love your hair. And I'm saying that because when I was in Charlotte this past weekend, I had a camera behind me, inside of me. And my wife reminded me how bald I am back here. So enjoy what you have, man.
I very much do enjoy it. Get it all right every game.
Yeah. All right, Seth, let's talk about it. It was a very big weekend for you, for the Smith family, for Houston Sabercats, obviously. You know, 22-15 win, great way for the team to start. But let's talk about you getting into the match, late in the match. Obviously, you'd probably rather have more minutes and all this stuff, but dude, just paint a picture for us. What was that like for you to come off the sidelines, to be called to come off? Man, it had to have been goosebumps at least.
I was sitting down and I was really nervous. I mean, I was waiting for it to happen, and coach was like, "Hey, Seth, it's finally your time." And whenever I first worked out, I took it in because it was this stadium was sold out. I mean, yeah. it was fully packed, and I had a lot of nerves, but they called my name. I took a deep breath, and just running on the field was really surreal. I looked around, I saw everybody. I made sure I went up to Pete. I was like, good game. And he was like, Seth, do your thing, bro. Just play the way you play. And it was just a real feeling.
Now, Seth, did you have an idea before the match that you were going to go in, or were you kind of preparing like, hey, I should prepare like I may go in?
So the main thing was like blood time and stuff like that happened. So I was prepared to go in at any moment, but we knew Utah was a very good team. So I knew, if it's close towards the end, I went into the mindset with every minute I get, whether it's 30 seconds, a minute, 10 minutes, just take the opportunity and run with it. That's really the mindset I went in with it.
Yeah, that's a great way to think of it. I mean, the announcers didn't pick up on it until later after you were in, maybe 2 minutes in, but you can hear the crowd erupt, get louder when you were coming into the match. I mean, you definitely heard that, I'm sure.
So a lot of my family, but a lot of the players I coach as well, were like, we want Seth. And it was crazy, hearing the crowd saying that they wanted me to go in, which was that's one of the things I really took in. As I was running on, I heard, like you said, the crowd roar, and it was amazing.
So youngest for two things. When you signed with the team last year, 17 years old was the youngest just to sign a professional contract in MLR. I mean, was there a thought that it would be this quick that you would be getting your first minutes?
I told my mom and dad, I was like, hey guys, I was like, the main thing I want to do this year is learn. Cause I mean, being 18 and all that in the MLR, a lot of players don't get the chance to play until they're 21, 22. And I went into the mindset, I just want to learn as much as what I can. So when my time comes, the bags are packed and I'm ready to hit the ground running. But it came a lot faster than I expected, but I'm really fortunate for it.
Seth, I got to ask, because I got to look at the timeline here. So you signed the contract, right, to professional contract. Were you still in high school at that point?
I signed June 6th. So I was 3 weeks out of high school.
Yep. You got your first job. First professional job right after high school.
Now, speaking of that signing, Seth, I did see that you committed to Life University at one point. Was that Life Atlanta or Life West?
It was Life in Atlanta.
And then that changed because of this?
Yes, sir. And with Coach Colton leaving as well.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to my parents about it, and I was like, because I feel like one of the main reasons why you go is, obviously the program, but you have a really close bond with the coach. And after he left, I was open to, looking somewhere else. And then the opportunity came, and I decided I'd hop on the opportunity to stay in Houston.
Yeah, in front of family with a professional coaching setup. I mean, Life is about as professional as university sides go, but with that full-time environment, talk a minute about you joining that environment. Bit nerve-wracking, was it arms wide open for you, all the veterans, hey, come on in, welcome to the team?
So I have a really great experience. So I joined at the end of last year. I was there the last month. I was put on a practice contract, so I was with them last month. And, obviously coming in, I was 17, and I was nervous, but the guys took me under their arms super well, and I'm super grateful for how amazing the team is. Like this coming year, like during preseason, everybody opened up with open arms. Like everybody makes mistakes, and I'd make a mistake, and they'd come into me like, Seth, you're good, bro. Just let it go and just, keep building. And so I got opened up with really, it was amazing. Opened up with great arms, and they teach me anything I want to know. I ask them questions every single day, and they're willing to help me. So I'm really fortunate for the guys I have in Houston with me.
Yeah, and Seth, let's talk about that a little bit, because the outfit that you joined Houston, right, great, massive South African influence. I mean, their style of play, if you like big, aggressive, hard-hitting rugby, like what better place to go than coaching down there, right? Heineke Meyer, and it's Pote Humana. I never know how to pronounce his name. What do you guys call him?
Coach Potes.
Coach Potes. Okay, Coach that works for me too. But so talk about like joining that style in Houston. Does that play well to how you like to play the game of rugby?
It very much does. I like being in the pods because I like to be a very physical player. I can't, a lot of hookers sit on the wing and all that, but I can't really do that. I have to be, in the mix a lot, and it fits perfectly.
Well, that's good you don't get on the wing, Seth, because if you look at USA Eagles, Joe Taffetti, he's been on our show, and we talked to him about being on the wing every so often. He says, yeah, I get out there to rest, and then I get yelled at by the coach.
And, I'm not going to lie, they're way faster than me, and I'm not trying to get burnt. So,
well, Seth, talk about speed for a second. Let's jump back to this past weekend. Again, I think it was about 4 minutes you were on there. You know, and you've been training in this atmosphere where the trainings are quick and all that stuff. But is that enough time for you to get a sense of how fast an MLR game can be?
I definitely felt a lot faster than practice. Well, in some practices. But, I mean, it's just the speed of how fast everything worked. Like, my reaction time, I think, has to improve a good bit. But it improved so much since playing, like, with the twos. It's improved a lot because everything happens so much faster. Everybody's so much quicker. The steps are faster. The plays are faster, but I've definitely been getting used to it.
And again, with that match against Utah, you mentioned earlier a tough team, and you look at that front row. When you came in, you know, Paul Mullen, USA Eagle, was playing the front row. You know, Phil Bradford, I think from Australia, was there at hooker. I don't know. For me personally, I've been going, oh God, here we go. All right, let's do this. These are heavyweights, let's say. But I mean, to succeed at your level, I mean, I guess it's hard for you to have that mind. You can't really have that mindset, right?
Sure. So, I mean, like, especially against a bunch of big guys like that, I mean, we have a very big front row as well. Mm. I mean, we have a lot of very big players. So, you know, in scrums and all that, I scrum against them a lot, and we get a little physical in practice sometimes. So I'm used to going against some big hitters.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about the front row, and I guess just, you know, taking a step back here for a second, right? When you think about the front row, and I never played in the front row. I was a scrum half, fly half, fullback. Anytime I got near like a ruck or a maul, I was told to like get the heck out of there. But I bring up the front row because like that is such a position where experience like matters so much, particularly in the scrums, right? Just the approach to it, some of the leverage and all the different dark arts that they talk about. When you hear about scrummaging, again, complete ignorance there on the subject. So when you guys are scrumming down, or what are you learning? Like, what are the things that you've been able to pick up so far, say compared to like even just like in high school when you were scrumming down?
So I've completely changed everything. My stance is different. My setup is different. My binds are different. Because you know, like in high school, you know, you're taught a little bit on how to play hooker, but you're not taught, or the front row, but you're not taught everything. You know, the professionals know. So I've been super fortunate, like working with Pizza and Easy and Mox, and I've been learning with Val and Ponos. I've been working with a lot of really good front rows, and with Coach Brown as well. So I've switched up everything, but you don't learn anything near what you would learn in high school.
Yeah. And how is like your weight training and like nutrition, like when you join a professional outfit, like everything has to become professional, right? How you approach the game, how you prepare. So like, do you eat differently? Are you lifting weights differently? Do you miss high school? You know what I mean? In a sense, like, you know, you're 18. Bill, what were you doing at 18?
Not that.
Same. I don't want to talk about what I was doing.
So growing up, my dad kind of prepared us for this life. Like I was on I wouldn't say a strict diet. I was able to eat what I want, but, you know, working out twice a day and running. So I've been working out a little bit since I was like 14. I've been running a lot. So the environment is very, I'm kind of used to it, but, you know, Coach Hoodie puts us on a really good program. So I've been getting a lot faster, a lot stronger, but weight training is definitely a lot different from high school. It's a lot more athletic movements, work on the body more. But, yeah.
You played, what, football, wrestling, rugby in high school in Texas, where we all know how big football is in Texas. It seems like you're already coming from like a pretty high end athletic department, let's say, mindset. So it had been a little easier for you to maybe get into this mix, right?
Yes, sir. So I played like right as one season ended, another season started. So I've always been used to going and going and going. And like wrestling kept me really fit for rugby. So I'm kind of used to it. I mean, as the season goes on, you know, the fitness will get better and all that, but I feel good.
What weight class did you wrestle in high school?
So my sophomore and junior year, I wrestled 220, and then my senior year, I wrestled 215.
Oh, so you actually dropped down a weight class.
I dropped The change from 220 to 215. My senior year, they changed the weight brackets to add some lighter weight brackets in. But yeah, it sucked because I would always come out of football at like 240, and I'd have to cut down to like 220, 215 in like 2 to 3 months.
So you have to wear like those rubber suits to do it.
A sauna suit.
Yeah, the sauna suit, yeah. So, Seth, let's talk about other forwards. Let's talk about hookers especially. And let's think about USA. As I talked about Big Joe a second ago, are there any USA hookers that you've been following that maybe you want to emulate, you know, Dylan Fawcett? I've only seen you a little bit here, but you seem to be like that kind of Joe Taufe'e kind of size, a big dude, right?
So Joe's bigger than me, but I like to learn from him a lot because I was in Houston while he was in Houston. So I've talked to him a few times, trying to learn from him as much as what I could. Because I was with him. I learned from him for about a month to learn what I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talk a little bit more about that. Like, obviously the game of rugby has changed. The bodies are getting bigger. Everyone's getting faster. And ball skills, you know, particularly in forward, you see a lot more of. You see hookers, props kicking the ball, right? How does that fit into your game? Is that something that you work on, or is it not a priority? I'm just, curious, how that, for a younger player who's coming up, do coaches want you working on stuff like that if you're out there spinning the ball, or?
Don't kick the ball.
There's definitely a few videos out there of me kicking, and they're not good.
So we'll never see a 50-22 out of you sometime in the future.
We definitely will not. Maybe later. Once I practice, give me about 2 to 3 years of practicing.
I meant 50 slices of pizza in 22. Oh.
Yeah. I can do that for sure. A big old slice of Costco pizza, or Sam's.
Yeah.
Hey, a little side note here. I just wanted to show you something. My wife has chimed in, and it's official. Bald is sexy. Okay, thank you, honey. So let's talk about, again, Houston for a little bit longer. Teams in LA this weekend. Do you know if you're on the traveling roster?
I do not know yet.
Oh, come on. You can tell us. It's all right. No one's watching. All right. Well, we hope you are on there.
I don't know. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. We talked about committed to life. At this point with your contract with Houston, presumably MLR is it right now, right? Or are you still, I think I heard something about maybe going to school at the same time.
So I'm currently going to a school out here in Houston, but Houston, staying with Houston is not my priority. I love Houston. I don't want to leave. Like, it's my hometown. I've been here forever. Yeah. I still live at home with my parents.
Well, on an MLR contract, you can be there for a while. I'm kidding. Sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that.
I plan on staying for a while. You can ask my mom. She says I'll be here till I'm 30. So we'll see.
Hopefully, if she's listening. Maybe she'll chime in and say, you're out of the house. Let's see. No, she hasn't commented yet. All right. So let's jump USA Rugby. You've already competed at U20 and juniors. Let's talk a bit about that experience of getting even to that level for USA side. You know, when you were playing in high school, was playing for USA on your mind?
Yes, sir. It was. It actually came later. I actually had the opportunity. I think going into my junior year, I had the opportunity. We got a call in. It's kind of a funny story because at first my mom was like, no, he's already committed to play for ERA and we don't want him doing USA because ERA. And then my mom actually got a call from Salty and was like, no, like he needs to go. It's kind of a funny story with that, but it definitely was. I've been dreaming of, being the best, only not person I could be, but rugby player. And so definitely chasing, being a USA Eagle and getting my Eagle number is definitely on my mind.
So I was out in Charlotte this past weekend covering the Anthem game. Was Anthem an option for you?
I mean, whenever I got signed to Houston at the end of last year, I was like, I don't want to leave Houston.
Because Anthem just started too, yeah.
Yes, sir. So originally what I was going to do is I was talking to the coaches about maybe doing a homegrown thing to where I said after my time at Life, I want to come back to Houston because I've never left Houston. I've been here for the last 18 years and I really, really love the city, love the people, especially with the people at Sabercats, love the fans. We have amazing fans. And I knew I wanted to come back to Houston. So staying in Houston has always been top priority.
Yeah. All right. So when I was out there, I was talking to Scott Lawrence. And I asked him about you, and he had this to say.
I think he's got the right character. He's got the right work ethic and mindset. He's still got a lot of rugby IQ to go, but that's normal for a kid his age. You'll also see three other U-20s that'll compete today in this game.
So, Scott, I mean, you've worked with Scott a little bit. I mean, he's right. Obviously, you're young. You know, as a rugby IQ, you've already learned probably a lot just by playing those 4 minutes over the weekend.
Yes, sir. I have learned a lot.
and a lot more to go.
Well, Seth, speaking of a lot more to go, I mean, you know, the big event coming up on the horizon certainly is, I'm sure you know quite well, Rugby World Cup's going to be hosted here in 2031. I mean, looking at that, I mean, you can already, I can already see you're getting excited. I mean, I got to imagine that's a priority for you, or a goal to be able to put on that number two jersey and suit up and run out in front of the home crowd.
Yes, sir. It is. We've like on my tours for U18s, they were like, guys, they're like, if this is what y'all want to do, if y'all want to do that, we work. It starts now, you know, and definitely is a very big goal of mine. Very big goal.
Just speak. I know it's a big goal. You know, a lot is going right for you right now. You know, you've got your ML contract. You're wearing the jersey you want to wear, obviously, and you're doing it in front of your loved ones. It's just to be able to pull on that uniform, a USA jersey, and to represent your country. I mean, I've never done it myself, but I couldn't imagine that, how that would feel. So, I mean, you know, what would that mean to you to be able to pull on that jersey?
It means the world, you know. Being able to represent your country is a very, very, very proud thing to do. And I've been fortunate enough to do it. I've done it six times already, and I'm really, really hoping I can do it more. Especially when we get to sing the national anthem, it hits hard, you know. Not because at the end of the day, you're not just doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for your family. You're not doing it for your friends, but you're doing it for the country. It's for everybody.
Well, Seth, go ahead.
Yeah, just real quickly, Seth, just kind of like going back a little bit. When did so you started playing? I'm going to go back to when things really like clicked for you in rugby, when you knew like, hey, I got a shot here potentially playing professionally here in the U.S. or wherever. And then, holy crap, I might actually have a shot here, you know, to play for the national team, you know, the senior 15s. When did that like moment occur to you when you were like, hey, I think I can do something with this or go pretty far?
I would say probably my junior year, probably about 2 years ago. Whenever I got the chance to play for USA, I kind of sat down and talked to my dad and my mom, and I was like, guys, I was like, after high school, I'm done with football. Rugby's really what I want to do. And my dad was like, Seth, he's like, if you want to do that, you put your all for it. You know, you chase a dream because a dream will not chase you back. So I'd say that's probably whenever it struck in as this is what I want to do. And then the second time I got to represent USA, I was like, Seth, every step I'm getting closer. And I felt like, hey, this is what I really want to do. And then I had the opportunity to stay home in Houston. And then that's whenever it kind of set in, like, maybe this is what, you know, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to play rugby and here to chase a dream and, you know, here to chase being on the senior men's team.
Awesome. And one more here, Bill, because right, Major League Rugby is now in its seventh season, right? Pathways are opening up for kids in high school to kids to go play college, to get scholarships, you know, get looked at by national team. I mean, that's completely different, say, in my age and even Bill's age, you know, at that time coming up. So I guess, you know, I don't even think they invented rugby yet when Bill was playing.
Hey, come on.
I don't know. That was such a cheap shot. I apologize. But,
oh, look at the time.
Yeah, right. What I'm getting at is, do you have, are young kids who are first coming out playing rugby in the Houston area, maybe hearing about, hey, Seth, who went to high school and is now playing professional rugby, like, do you have kids coming up to you and, like, asking you for advice or just, like, feedback or, like, how do I do
autographs.
What you're doing? Yeah, or autographs, yeah.
So after the debut night, the game was over, and I met a lot of really cool fans, and a couple of things really, really hit hard in the heart is I had a bunch of people who actually coached against me who had kids, and one of the families I talked to, I took a picture with his son and signed an autograph, and he looked at me and he shook my hand. He said, Seth, he was like, you're an inspiration for the people out here in Houston. He was like, being from, you know, playing youth rugby in Houston to through Pathways and now being a true homegrown Houston native and playing professionally. It's an inspiration to a lot of us. And I actually, on Instagram, I talk to a lot of people and they're just like, hey, Seth, like, you're an inspiration to us, showing us, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's if you have a dream, you could go chase it. And it really hit hard after the game, just seeing, because I really want to use this as an outlet to, you know, spread positive energy and show people anything can happen. Dreams, because chase the dream. The dream will not chase you back at all. And it was crazy after the game.
Well, Seth, man, that's great, man. You're inspiration to us also. I think it's amazing. I know once I heard the news you came on this weekend, I immediately reached out to Fitz. He said, we need to get this guy on this week. You know, I know he's going to have a lot of great stuff to say. And, you know, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences, not even only that this past weekend, but in high school and what you're going through now with the team. But with that said, man, good luck this season. You know, keep progressing. You know, keep working hard. Sure. And we hope to see you in your senior cap and senior uniform sooner than later.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Cheers, buddy. We'll catch up. Hopefully we will we'll meet each other at the Free Jazz game later this year. I think you come up to New England, hopefully. Perfect. That's where I am. Fitz is in D.C. Don't worry about him. All right, Seth. Have a great night. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you. Hope to see y'all soon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Ah, man, what a he's going to be a legend. I can feel it already. I like it, man. He's going to be he's a good kid. Good level head on his shoulders.
Bill, yeah. Hakeem Olajuwon, Warren Moon, Jeff Bagwell, Houston sports legends. Well, Seth Smith.
You putting him up there already?
I mean, you didn't let me finish. Will he be up there when it comes to when you think about the best Houston athletes? We'll see.
Hey.
That'd be a cool story.
You know, and that would mean also a couple of things. That would mean that rugby really has upticked as well. I think that's and like what I said, he said at the end there about spreading the word of rugby and being an influence to these other kids. Like, you know, you and I do that for the same reason, not to influence all the kids, but, you know, we want people to enjoy these shows and get people involved in the game. You know, so good kid. We wish him the best, and we know he will succeed. Hopefully, I really do want to see him play this weekend against LA. I think that'd be a good matchup for him. As always, please like, follow, and subscribe this podcast. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. Leave us a comment. Send the link to your friends. Follow us at Eagles Overseas and at Rugby Morning.